Well, thank you and good morning. Good to be here again and see some familiar faces and enjoy a warm welcome. A few weeks ago, I was asked kind of last minute to fill in. I guess a speaker had been fallen ill or was sick or something. This is a church in Richmond. And as I walked in the door, a friend of mine goes to that church. He says, "You know, I knew we were supposed to pray for a speaker. I didn't know we were that desperate." But I haven't felt that way here. It's just good to be back and with you. And, you know, as I was just preparing this morning, just kind of going over my notes, a verse came from Ephesians where in Ephesians 1, it talks about our salvation. It three times says, "To the praise of His glory." And that's what it's about. It's about just kind of, it's interesting, tied into that song, "Be Glorified." And that's what our work with international students is about. It's about glorifying God among the nations that are here. And there I have an open door for effective work. And this morning I want to share both about what's going on among international students here, but also talk about opening our doors to those who are around us through the work of hospitality. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul talks about he's going to stay in Ephesus because an open door for effective work is here for me. And that's what we find among the international students, that it's an open door for effective work. One of the, and I've learned to call this a joy of my work, is that I get to do the reports. Now, I don't know if anyone here has joy in collecting numbers and filing reports, but and I certainly didn't feel that way when that task was given to me. But over time, I appreciate it because what happens is I get all the reports of all that God's doing among the international students here from the various campus directors. And just a couple weeks ago, we were celebrating two new Chinese scholars who are visiting UBC just for a short amount of time, a year, to come and do some research, accepting Christ. I saw one of them on Friday out at UBC, and I said to him, I said, how's your research going? How are things going? He goes, "Oh, Steve, my research is suffering." I said, "Really?" I said, "Why is that? I mean, this guy is brilliant. He's the best of the best." He said, "Well, I spent all my time reading the Bible. I haven't done any of my readings." And he just has this joy that he's come from discovering God's love for him through Jesus. And it's an exciting thing to be a part of that. And I thank you for many of you who are involved and who pray for us and are actively involved in the ministry. This photo here is from just over a week ago, Thanksgiving. My wife and I enjoyed hosting. We had 8 students. My wife has limited me. She says I'm not allowed to bring in extra chairs to our house. So that's the limit of students I can now have in my house. But we had 8 students, 5 different nations. Come and enjoy some hospitality. And they're part of over 100 students that we put into Christian homes last weekend with our Thanksgiving outreach. I was asked from our head office to give some stories. And I replied to him, I said, "I can't give you any stories because stories take time." And so I said, "I can just give you these stats of 100 plus. But you know, stories take time, but we already see some stories taking place. In this picture, you see the girl in the on your left in the white, and behind her there's a head poking out. It's a young Japanese girl, Ami. Ami I met twice, and I met her on the first day on at UBC, and just, you know, welcome, here's our club. And then a couple weeks later, we had a club booth display, and Ami came, she goes, "I remember you," And of the hundreds of students I've met over the past few weeks, I don't remember any of their names. But I said, "Ami, I don't know why, but I remember you." And so I just said, "You're coming to my house for Thanksgiving." She said, "Okay." And it was good. And we had her. And she said, "Oh, hey, when do I see you next?" I said, "Well, I'll be at UBC on Friday." And she said, "Okay, I'll come." And I was unsure because many students will say, "I'll come," and then don't come. They want to be polite and save face. So on Friday, I was excited to see. She came and she said, "I'm with my friend." And it's her and her friend Yumi. I said, "Hey, welcome." And she goes, "And here are my other friends," as nearly 15 Japanese students piled into our room. And that just is the fruit of hospitality. When a life is touched with Christian love and care, it begins to change the person slowly but surely. And so we enjoyed, fortunately, a group of our students weren't there, so we did have enough food, but they too were touched by hospitality that was shown to them. You know, from start to finish in Scripture, we're given the command to be hospitable. If you look through from Genesis, in Genesis 18, there's a story of Abraham welcoming in the strangers into his tent. But beyond just a cultural thing, you know, if you have friends who are from the Middle East, they are very hospitable people. But beyond that, God's people are commanded to be hospitable. In Leviticus 19, as God is giving some instructions of how to be holy as I am holy, that's how the chapter starts. In essence, how to live that reflects who I am, God gives these instructions. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And of course, these instructions to the Israelites, they had been mistreated. They knew what it was like to be a foreigner in Egypt and mistreated. And now they're getting the instruction, as you are my people, the people of God, you will not mistreat the foreigner. You'll treat them as your own. In the book of Job, as Job presents his case of upright living, that he had lived rightly before God and righteously, he says this as part of his defense, "But no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler." In essence, this is a bit of what our ministry is about, but really these are instructions not for specialized ministries, but for living as the people of God. Our doors are to be open doors to those around us. You know, as I reflect and think of, if this is how God's people were called and instructed how they live, it's no surprise that there's that Christmas tragedy that is highlighted of no room in the inn. You see, God's people should have been the type of people who would have welcomed the foreigner, welcomed the stranger, welcomed the person who's on the street into their homes. But you know, this story, and you know, we were talking about, hey, Thanksgiving's here. Next thing we know, it's going to be Christmas, and that's just coming up. And there's going to be lots of meals. I liked what you said about the weight. I actually bought a scale this week. Because I said, you know what, I had a goal for the beginning of the year to lose weight, and I'm not there, and so I told him, I'm going to buy it this week, because I know, I had three Thanksgiving dinners, by the way, I said, I know I'm at my peak, at least I hope I'm at my peak, and so I'm going to be very encouraged, and at least I have been this week, because after three Thanksgiving dinners, you have nowhere to go but down. But until Christmas comes, right, and then it's going to ramp back up, but we're looking forward to Christmas, and you know, it always reminds me of one of the first students that we saw come to Christ up at SFU. Her name was Vivian, and you know, now she's going on strong. She's doing her master's in Waterloo, married, serving in a church, serving in the Focus Club out there. But she talked and told, when she was baptized, she told her testimony about how she arrived in Canada with such high hopes. And you know, as I think about that, I think of, we know that there's at least 25,000 Syrian refugees arriving in Canada with very high hopes. And she said, I arrived with high hopes, and yet over the course of my first semester, they were squashed. I was lonely, alone. I didn't know what I was doing here. And she says, on Christmas Day, I'd been looking forward to Christmas because we don't celebrate Christmas in China. And she says, I was so looking forward to Christmas. But come Christmas Day, all I could do was look out of my window and see some lights and see people walking around with each other. But I sat the whole day alone. It's a bit of a Christmas tragedy in the modern day world. Fortunately, one of her friends said, you know, there's this group that gives us free food on Fridays, the Focus Club. And so she came, and on her on our first one. Usually I'm maybe a little more cautious than this, but we had had a prayer meeting and we'd been led to pray. Today is the day of salvation. And Vivian and her friend joined us at our table. And at the end, it just so happened that we'd been doing a lesson on sin. And so we had that base covered. And at the end, she said, they looked at each other, spoke in Chinese, they say, whatever's going on here, we want it. We want to become Christians. How do we become a Christian? And so we, as I said, usually we would want maybe more of a base, but we just knew the Spirit was at work through hospitality, genuine love, and they gave their lives to the Lord. And both have continued going on for the Lord. One's back in China, and Vivian, as I said, is off in Waterloo. And why? What was the thing that spoke of God's love to them? It was the hospitality shown to them. You see, it's not just in the Old Testament that we're commanded to be hospitable. In Romans 12:1 is a very famous verse. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And this verse is very inspiring. This is, you know, we need to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord. We need to be about doing His business, living for Him. But what I enjoy about this is that Romans 12 actually fleshes that out a bit. If you read through the chapter, it puts a bit of meat onto the bones of what it means to be a living sacrifice. And as you get down to verse 13, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And so, as God's people, how are we to live as living sacrifice? Hospitality is one of those things. Sharing with those who are in need. You know, a few years ago I was at a bit of a conference on working with international students, and we were developing some papers to be used in seminary teaching on this issue. And one of the things that we said is that, unfortunately, we'd been saying, oh, it's so easy to reach these people. It's so easy. And we said, but it's not easy. None of us say it's actually easy to reach. We say it's simple. It's simple, but not easy. And it's simple to open our homes in the name of Christ and in love to the people around us. In Hebrews, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And so we see that from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, God's people are commanded to practice hospitality. We need to be hospitable people. Not just at the church, as I said, I really appreciate the warm welcome. And that makes a big difference to people walking in. And when you're simply welcomed into a place, told that you are welcome, and invited to not just be a visitor, but really invited to join in and be a part of what's going on. And so from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we're commanded hospitality. And that's to continue on to today's people and right through to today's generation. You know, I think we live in a place, and I have to admit that we live in a world that's so connected. Or there's so much connectivity, I would say, but not so much connection, true, genuine connection. I grew up in a home where I was very blessed that pretty much every Sunday, either we were having people over at our home or we were going to someone's home, having been invited there. And I can tell you as a young man, when I think about why and how I'm involved in the ministry I am in today, it's because my parents set that example for me, that you welcome people into your home. I remember being scared one or two times when I'd walk home after school and there'd be a stranger sitting at the table in my house making himself at home. And it's because they were at home, in our home, welcomed, travelers coming through here, there, or from everywhere. It was part of my upbringing. And my wife and I, as we talk about what kind of house we hope to have, what kind of family we hope to have, that's one of the things that we hope to do, is be that type of place. And we're already thankful that our son just loves being the center of attention. And he's actually a bit of an evangelist already. I'm quite proud as someone who loves sharing the gospel. With some of those Japanese students, he wanted them to read him books. And so he was very strategic, and he went and got his children's Bible books. And he got them reading the Bible. I think it's the first time they've ever seen or looked at the Bible. But who knows? But this is the type of home that Christians are called to have. He's one that is open to other people. Christian hospitality, is there a difference between just being entertainers or true Christian hospitality? I think one thing as we study and look through and even look at the word of hospitality is that it goes beyond just simply entertaining our friends and guests. I think there's a distinct focus on the stranger. The stranger being, I would say, someone who you do not have a relationship with or not a deep relationship with. In fact, the word hospitality is philo, which is love, and xeno, which is stranger. It's love for the stranger. This is true hospitality, is love for the stranger, love for those who you do not have that established relationship with. It might be a foreigner, someone who's new to the country. It might be someone sitting the other side. You know, I don't know about you, but I know at my church, we all have our assigned seats, don't we? You know, you're going to find the same people more or less in the same area. You know, maybe it's someone here who you know, that relationship, it hasn't been cultivated. You know, in Romans 12, it talks about sharing with the Lord's people who are in need. And so hospitality, although I would say hospitality has a focus on those outside, this also commands that those among whom we are with, the Lord's people, we are also to be sharing amongst each other. So it has this focus on the outside. You know, I was very challenged in preparing this message. I have a home that is open, and oftentimes I've gone into the elevator with someone else in my building, and it's very uncomfortable for the 10 floors it takes to get to my level, because there's, you know, 8 of us crammed into the small elevator. But I have to admit, even on my own apartment floor, I don't know the names of every one of my neighbors. And so for all intents and purposes, these people who I've lived with or lived on the same floor for 3 years, on some level are still strangers to me. And my wife and I, and so as I was preparing last night, I said, I know what the Lord's challenging me on here. We need to do something to at least connect with the other 5 apartments on our floor. And my prayer is that we'd all be challenged through this message of how can we become hospitable people? Who is the Lord calling us to be hospitable to? In Luke 14, Jesus also gives a bit of expansion on who we are to invite, who we are to be hospitable to. He talks about not just inviting those who are your friends and family and who can pay you back, but those who are in need. And because of that, who cannot pay you back. And you know, true Christian hospitality is also this. It's an act of grace. It is given freely. Oftentimes, and not that there's anything wrong with entertaining, but you know, there's the, well, I invite you and then you invite me, and we have this reciprocity, and there's some great things to happen there. You know, the good Christian fellowship. But I think hospitality, in its truest sense, calls us beyond simply fellowshipping or with our friends and family that we already have relationship with. And so we are called as God's people to be hospitable. You know, oftentimes I say to some of the students that we meet, you know, I say, as we begin explaining the gospel with words, somehow they already grasp some of the concepts. Why? Because they've seen it lived out through our actions, through our welcoming of them, welcoming them unconditionally, no matter where they're from, and without an expectation of any payback. And because of this, I believe hospitality truly is a manifestation of God's grace. If we bring it back to that Leviticus passage where it tells us and commands us to welcome the foreigner, treat them well. You may have noticed at the end, there's a reason given. It says, love them as yourselves, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And to the Jewish people, when they hear that phrase, I am the Lord your God, it most likely would have brought them back to the beginning of the Ten Commandments, where Jesus says, or God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who took you as people who had no home, had no place to stay, brought you out of the land of Egypt, and gave you a place that is your own. And because that's who I am, because that is the way that God has dealt with us, we need to deal with other people in that same way. We need to show them the same type of love that God has shown to us. And so that's why with our students we say we welcome you unconditionally. Why? Because that's how God welcomed us. We welcome you even though you can't pay us back anything. Why? Because that is how God has welcomed us into his family. In a way, it's a display of the gospel. When we open our lives to others, when we open our lives to others across whatever barriers there might be. We're going through the book of Ephesians in my church, and in there it talks about under Christ, Jew and Gentile are brought together. And as Christians, it doesn't matter who it is outside there, under Christ we bring them and welcome them into our family. And it's about beginning a relationship. You see, hospitality isn't an event, at least not in my estimation. It's not something we just simply do to say that we've done it, to tick off a command. Hospitality is relational. And it's all about beginning a relationship. You see, it's aimed at the stranger, the one whom you do not know. And there's a purpose there that through hospitality, that person is no longer a stranger. That a relationship has begun, a relationship is being built. And so again, isn't this the gospel? It's about a relationship, about our relationship with our Heavenly Father being restored through Jesus. Through hospitality, we also extend a loving relationship to those who maybe don't think that they deserve it, to those who maybe are lonely and in need, just as we were before we knew Christ. And so it's all about relationship. And finally, as I think about hospitality, it's actually a taste of what's to come. It's a taste of what's to come. It's interesting that we read there from the book of Revelation. Because you see, in the book of Revelation, we get a few pictures, don't we? We get a picture of a banquet, a feast. And that's a picture of what heaven is like. And there's something else there. There's people from every tribe, nation, and tongue gathered at that feast together. And there's no longer any divisions. You see, if that's a picture of heaven, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's ways that we can practically make that become reality. You know, I really enjoy eating my meals with people from different cultures because I truly believe it's a taste, a foretaste of what it's going to be like. It's always richer, I find. I don't know if the food tastes... Actually, usually the food tastes better because we put a little more effort into it. But it's a foretaste of heaven. Your kingdom come, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we, through the International Student Ministries, minister to the nations, we get a foretaste of that. As we see people from different tribes and nations and tongues come to know Christ, come into that relationship that we also share with them. It is a foretaste of heaven. I was talking with my colleague who ministers at University of Victoria just a few weeks ago. And he just paused. He says, Steve, Do you ever shake your head at what we do? And I said, what do you mean? He says, do you ever just shake your head and say, how lucky am I that I get to do this? How blessed am I that I get to enjoy what is to come here on earth right now? You see, when we bless others, we are so often blessed ourselves. I think of Abraham again going back there, and he was blessed to be a blessing. And yet I find so often in my life, as we bless others, we too are richly blessed. Today I count among some of my closest and best friends some of the students that I've met over the years. Some of the people that we've enjoyed some of the greatest moments with our son are some of these students who we've met. It is such a blessing to your family to open up your home to others. As I said, myself growing up, I now count it such a blessing that, yeah, I didn't get to watch football on a Sunday afternoon because we had guests, but wow, the people we met and the enjoyment we had. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we can bless others through simply opening our door. International students is such an open door to effective ministry that I enjoy being a part of, and I thank you for helping me with. And as I think about it, it's an open door both on campus but in our homes. And as I think about the idea of hospitality, and again going back to this verse of an open door for effective ministry. You know, so often we think, you know, what ministry do I have? What can God use me in? And I have said this, and I haven't found anyone else who said this, so I'm going to claim this quote as my own. It says, the door to effective work begins at your front door. Either you step out, or you open it to invite others in. You see, there is ministry to be done. One of the students out at UBC came up to me on Friday night with a card. And they said, and on the card it had talked about that we do Thanksgiving and we do Christmas. And she said, where do I sign up for a Christmas dinner? How do I get into a home for Christmas? It's not that there aren't people who need a place to belong on Christmas Day. My colleague, someone asked, well, you said that I can come over. And he checked with his wife and she said, well, for the next 2 months, every weekend we have people over. You're going to have to wait. You know, there are people who would love to be welcomed into your home. There are people, I'm sure, in this room who would love to be welcomed into your home. There are people on your street, in your neighborhood, who would love to be invited into your home. Welcomed simply in the name of Christian love. Simply welcome them the way that we have been welcomed and invited into God's kingdom. You see, this is hospitality. It's welcoming and loving people the way that we have been welcomed and that we have been loved by God. That we have been given a place. As I think of John 14, a place that's been prepared for us. God is going to welcome us in because of His unconditional love. And we can put that on display for the world by simply opening our doors to those in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the love that you've showed us. We thank you that you are a hospitable God. We thank you that you, Lord, you loved us. We thank you that you've given us these commands to simply live the way that reflects the character of who you are. Live the way that reflects the character of who you are, Lord. And so we pray for our homes. We pray that they would be a place that is open to others, Lord. Open to display your love for whoever you've placed in our life, whether it be a new immigrant to Canada, someone new to the neighborhood, someone who's lived next door that we just is still a stranger for all intents and purposes. Help us have the courage to go knock on a door, to go welcome someone, Lord. Help us have the love, your love, richly in us, Lord, that this is a labor done simply out of love because we know that we are loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.